Our scripture reading is from Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 34. Please follow along in your Bibles, or the words will be up on the screen. If you do not have a Bible, we'd love to provide you with one as a gift from us. Just raise your hand and we'll see that you get one. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is where your heart will be also. The eye of the lamp is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worry, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is there today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Rich. Have you ever grabbed milk out of the fridge, poured it into your cereal, taken a bite, and your brain went, nope, spit it out, something's not right. And then you look at the carton, and sure enough, the expiration date was like 2 weeks ago. Any of you ever done that? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Okay. At some point, every earthly product reaches this moment. Your car will expire 12 to 15 years, 20 to 30 if you take really good care of it, right? Your washing machine, 10 years. Your mattress, 7 to 10. Your laptop, 2 to 5. Even achievements and titles have expiration dates. The hype of an award fades. A career comes to an end. If we could see those expiration dates clearly, it might change the way we invest our time, our energy, and attention. Because most of the things we spend our lives chasing are temporal. And that's exactly the point that Jesus is making in this passage. He's essentially saying, don't spend your life investing in things with expiration dates. Now, Jesus is not saying that possessions are evil. He is saying they are temporary. And if we build our lives around temporary things, we'll always feel anxious about losing them, yes? Like our house is reaching the 30-year mark. And that seems to be like the year when everything falls apart, right? Our roof is going to need to be replaced. Our furnace is kind of giving us telltale signs that it's not going to last much longer. And we get anxious about those expenses and how burdensome they're going to be. But if we build our lives around the kingdom of God, we invest in something that never expires. So today, Jesus invites us to ask a deeply important question. What kind of treasure am I really living for? Because if our treasures aren't in the right place today, our hearts are going to be in the wrong place tomorrow. If we are people who are going to follow Jesus, if we are going to be people who live for greater than just the here and now, we have to learn to treasure the right things and put our stuff in its proper place. If we have the true righteousness of Jesus in our lives, then we will have a proper attitude toward material wealth. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So in the ancient world, wealth was often stored in clothing, in grain, in precious metals. But Jesus says all earthly treasures have the same problem. They decay, they disappear, they get stolen, right? Moths destroy clothing, vermin eat the grain, rust destroys precious metal, thieves steal possessions. And when you store your treasures on earth, one of two things will happen. One, they won't last, or two, you won't take it with you, right? So either they're going to leave you or you're going to leave them. Think about what storing treasures on earth really does to us. Take, for example, your cell phone. Apple always seems to have a line going out of their store, do they not? People lined up to get the latest and greatest, all the new upgrades and features, better camera, bigger screen, higher storage capacity, and will spend a substantial amount of money to obtain that. And then a year later, what happens? They roll out a newer phone, right, with even bigger, better camera, bigger screen, you know, higher resistance to water. And that phone you paid $1,300 for is now worth $600. And your phone doesn't seem to work as well as it did when you bought it. The apps are running slower. The pictures seem grainier. It seems obsolete compared to the bells and whistles of the newest phone. And you find yourself wanting. It is a vicious cycle that keeps us stuck in pursuing earthly treasures. Now, again, I'm telling you, Jesus is not condemning possessions. The issue isn't having things. The issue is when the things have us. Right? When we are working 60-plus hours a week to pay for things we think we need to be happy, to be comfortable, to be successful, when we become a slave to our possessions. Or we find ourselves saying, if God could just give me more, I'd be able to do more. Or we say things like, you know, God, I will serve you as soon as I get these things in place. Or, God, I will follow you as long as I get to keep my stuff. He is challenging our priorities. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure is simply what you value, what you worship. And you can find out what that is just by looking at what you think the most about. what you worry the most about, what you spend time pursuing, what you invest your resources in. Your treasure reveals your heart. And Jesus says the only investment that never loses value is the kingdom of God. And then Jesus paints this picture. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. So a healthy eye means generosity and focus on God. An unhealthy eye means greed and selfish ambition. And Jesus is saying, what you fix your attention on shapes your life. If your vision is focused on the kingdom, your life will be full of light, right? But if your vision is consumed with wealth and status and success, your life will slowly fill with darkness. And then he says, you cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is using language of servant and master, because in the ancient world, a servant belonged completely to their master. And they could only serve one. They couldn't serve two. Jesus is saying that God and money compete for the same place in our hearts, right? God asks for trust, worship, and obedience. Money promises security, control, status. Eventually, one will win. Our decisions about time and priorities and values will reveal which master we are actually serving. Again, money itself is not the problem. The Bible does not say that money is evil. Money can be used for good. We know this. We use money to provide for our families, to help others in need, to support ministry. The problem is when money becomes the master instead of the tool. When money rules us, it defines our security, it determines our priorities. Instead of trusting God, we trust what we have. And then he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So when a sentence starts with, therefore, it's letting you know what it's there for. You're welcome. He's connecting worry with displaced treasure. Because there is a connection there, is there not? If we make our lives about storing up treasures on earth instead of heaven, we propel ourselves into lives that are filled with stress and anxiety and worry. But God tells us we don't have to live like that. Look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Birds don't farm, right? They don't store grain in barns. Yes, they gather food, but they don't do it anxiously like we do. Wildflowers, they grow for a very short season. Yet Jesus says that Solomon, the wealthiest king in Israel, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares as much about the flowers that only last for a few days, how much more does he care about you? All of nature depends on God. And God never fails. Man, however, tends to depend on money. And money always fails. Worry isn't just an emotional issue. It is a trust issue. When we worry, we live as though everything depends on us. But Jesus reminds us, your heavenly Father knows what you need. A man who pursues money and possessions will think that wealth is what's going to solve their problems, when in reality, wealth complicates our lives. It gives us a false sense of security. Any of you ever watched the show King of Queens? Ooh, not many. Okay. So those of you who have watched it, do you recall the episode where Doug and Carrie get the Christmas bonus? And instead of putting it in the bank, Carrie talks Doug into investing it in stocks and hoping their money will start working for them. And, you know, day one, they're up by double what they invest. But then the next day, they start losing and losing and losing. And then their Christmas season becomes this awful roller coaster ride where one moment to the next, they're worried about whether they're going to be rich or poor. Jesus says that's an That's a terrible way to live. He says, can any of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? And we know the answer is no, right? If anything, worry shortens our life. It robs us of peace. It robs us of sleep. It robs us of effectiveness. It robs us of our physical health. We are so good at worrying that we develop somatic symptoms from it. We worry ourselves sick. And can I just tell you, I worry all the time. I have struggled with anxiety my entire life, and I think a lot of it stems from the fact that I am pulled in many directions, and Jesus says that doesn't work. To live for the kingdom of God means living under God's rule and priorities, that we are pursuing God's will above our own plans, that we are living generously and faithfully, that we are trusting God with tomorrow. And when we do that, Jesus promises something remarkable. That God will take care of what you need. It might not be the luxuries you want, but it is everything necessary. And then Jesus closes with this practical wisdom. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Most of our anxiety lives in imaginary futures, right? We ask ourselves, what if, what if, what if? Jesus calls us back to faithful living today. Grace for today. Strength for today. Provision for today. Every person is building their life around something. Some build their lives around success, some build them around security, some around reputation. But Jesus invites us to build around something even better, the kingdom of God. Everything else eventually fades. Careers end, possessions wear out, achievements are forgotten. But the things done for God's kingdom last forever. And these are treasures that moths cannot destroy. Vermin cannot eat, thieves cannot steal. So today, Jesus asks a simple but life-changing question. Where is your treasure? Because wherever your treasure is, your heart will follow. And when our treasure is in the kingdom of God, we discover a life free from fear, anchored in trust, and invested in what truly lasts. Imagine you're taking a long international trip. Your final destination is a beautiful place you have dreamed of for years. But in order to get there, you have to pass through a short layover in another airport. Now imagine someone arrives at the layover airport and they look around and they say, you know, this airport could have so much more. It could be so much better than what it is. I think I'm going to decorate this place. And so they go out and buy furniture, and they repaint the gate area, and they're hanging pictures on the wall, and they're putting out rugs and lamps, and people are walking by them going, why are you doing that? You're only going to be here a couple of hours. No one invests their life in the layover because the airport is not the destination. It's just the place you have to pass through on the way to where you're actually going. And in the same way, Jesus is saying this world is not the final destination. It is the layover. But most of us spend our entire lives investing in the layover, trying to build security, trying to build comfort, fulfillment in a place that is temporary. Jesus invites us to live differently. Instead of investing in the layover, he says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Live with that last day in mind. Love people. Invest in them. Serve faithfully. Trust God. Because when the journey is over and we finally reach our destination, the only treasures that will matter are the ones we sent ahead to the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for knowing exactly what we need and providing it faithfully. So often we find ourselves chasing things that don't last, things that promise security but instead leave us anxious, things that promise fulfillment and yet leave us empty. Lord, forgive us for the times when our treasure has been misplaced. Forgive us when we have trusted more in possessions, plans, or our own control than in your faithful provision. Teach us to seek your kingdom first. Teach us to value what you value. Help us invest our lives in what truly lasts. Love, faithfulness, generosity, and the work of your kingdom. When worry begins to creep into our hearts, remind us that you are a Father who sees us, who knows our needs, and cares for us far more than we can imagine. Give us the courage to trust you with tomorrow, the wisdom to live faithfully today, and the faith to store up treasures in heaven. May our lives reflect hearts that belong fully to you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who calls us to trust, to seek, and to follow. Amen. Let us stand now and affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
In Matthew 6, Jesus speaks directly to our priorities. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Matthew 6:19-20. Jesus isn't condemning work, planning, or providing. Rather, he's asking a deeper question. What owns your heart? Earthly treasures are temporary. Markets rise and fall. Possessions wear and tear. Circumstances change. But the things of God, love, compassion, generosity, transform lives and the spreading of the gospel, and they last forever. When we give, we are not simply funding the church budget. We are investing in eternal things, the message of Christ reaching someone who needs hope, children and youth learning that they are loved by God, a community being served in Jesus' name. Hearts being changed for eternity. Jesus continues in this passage by reminding us not to worry about tomorrow. He points to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field and says that our Heavenly Father knows what we need. Generosity becomes an act of trust. When we give, we are declaring, God, you are my provider, my security, not what I hold on to, but with you. So today, as we bring our gifts, we are not simply giving money, we are seeking first the kingdom of God, trusting that when God is first in our hearts, everything else falls into its proper place. Let us give with joy, faith, and gratitude. Gracious and loving God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. You provide for the birds of the air and clothe the lilies of the field, and you care for us even more. Forgive us when our hearts become attached to things that do not last. Teach us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. As we offer these gifts today, we give them with gratitude for all that you have given us. Use them to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to serve those in need and to bring hope to our community and beyond. May our giving reflect our trust in you, our love of your mission, and our desire to store up treasure in heaven. We place these offerings in your hands, trusting that you will multiply them for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.